Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and this is Deja from the I Am Riviera Beach podcast. I will be filling in for Miss Ann, and I have our co-host, Artie Williams, on the line with us. And for our special guest for this Sunday, we have none only Dr. DeAndre Poole. And just to read a short summary of him, Dr. DeAndre Poole is a candidate for the Port of Palm Beach Group 5. He was born in West Palm Beach and grew up in Pleasant City. Dr. Poole graduated from Suncoast Community High School in 1999, which is also my alma mater, where I graduated from high school. He also lived in Riviera Beach when he was a student at Suncoast and a college student at Florida Atlantic University. He is an ordained elder and the member of New Day Covenant Life, COGIC, in Riviera Beach. He is married to Dr. Stephanie Poole, a local veterinarian and graduate of the Tuskegee University. And now for our guest, Mr. Dr. DeAndre Poole. How are you today, sir?
I am fantastic, and thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Of course. And so I know that you have so much more on your resume, would you like to tell us just a few more things, about yourself?
Certainly. And first, let me say that I want to thank Ann McNeil and Artie for the invitation. And as the name goes, I am Riviera Beach. Well, I am Riviera Beach. And I just want to say hello to all of the residents and all of the residents in the surrounding area listening. And as you said, I'm Dr. DeAndre Poole, candidate for Port of Palm Beach Group 5. And seat 5, it is an open seat. As she mentioned, I'm a native of this community. And one of the things people say, well, why are you running? I tell folks, I'm running to give back to my community, to make a difference. I mean, there are so few black males in public office. And representation matters. Diversity of lived experiences, they matter to people. They matter to people. I am a homeowner, currently live in West Palm Beach, but the majority of my family lives in Riviera Beach. I grew up part of the time in Wedgwood and part of the time at my grandparents' house in National Village, where they still own their home, and you can find me there often. And I currently teach at Florida Atlantic University. I'm a professor there in the School of Communication and Multimedia Studies. And I also am the president, the longest-serving president of the faculty union at FAU. I represent some 800, almost 900 member bargaining unit, where we work on protecting the bargaining rights and as well as safe working conditions and salaries of the faculty at FAU. And that's a position I've been in since 2018, and I was fortunate that at FAU I earned my bachelor's degree and master's degree FAU, and then I went away to Howard University, earned my PhD, and I came back because so many, you know, we leave sometimes, we find opportunities in other places, and that's nothing wrong with that. But I was passionate about West Palm Beach and Riviera Beach, and I wanted to bring my gifts and talents to put them to use for my community because I want to see our community prosper. In addition to that, I have also served for about 8 years. I served as the vice chair of the Palm Beach County Democratic Party. I've been a precinct captain since my undergrad years. It's almost 20 years as a precinct captain. helping to get the vote out and educate voters on issues. And I have been a strong advocate for various groups in Palm Beach County. I was chair of the Coalition for Black Student Achievement with Dr. Robinson, Dr. DuPont, and so many others for about 5 years, advocating on issues at the school district for black males and black females. I also serve in a capacity with Unify, which exists to build power in black communities across Palm Beach County. And I work extremely well with members of that organization. We did some good work together. And now I am offering myself once again to the voters of Palm Beach County to serve as the next court commissioner. And again, some of my issues, some of the court issues that I want to see happen, you know, we want to hire more jobs. The court employs about 3,000 workers. And so I want to increase that number, but the only way we increase that number, we have to increase revenue. And increase revenue, we hire more folks, we increase high-paying jobs, and, of course, the court has not levied taxes in over 40 years, and I will not vote for that.
Okay, well, we're going to get into some of the questions. I want you to get ahead of us a little bit with the questions we're going to get for our listeners. But we see that you have an extensive background of the things that you want to accomplish and already have accomplished. But we want to get into the question part of it so that way you can elaborate on some of the things that you're talking about already. These are some of the questions that the viewers will want to know. So we just didn't want to get out of order here, but we'll get into all those things. We're going to touch base with all those things you're talking about right now. Okay. Let me just jump in for a second here. You was talking about the Black Caucus. The Black Democratic Party. And I know with our listeners, we know the Black Democratic Party always focus on registering. But what are some of the other things that's important that the Black Democratic Party focus on? What are some of the other things that, besides registering the voters, that we need to know or what they do?
Well, I mean, you have the County Democratic Party, and then you have the Black Caucus, the Black Democratic Caucus, and the Black Caucus as well. And part of the job, I also belong to an organization, Together We Stand Democratic Club, which was the premier black club in West Palm and Riviera Beach at the time. Part of the job of our black democratic groups is to identify potential candidates to run for public office, also to help educate them on policy issues and issues that may be impacting the community. We also work to make sure we're all on the same page, because sometimes if one group is saying one thing, another group is saying another, we have to have a unified message. And having a unified message also helps us to build strength. And building strength is also important to the community as well.
Okay. Now, I know looking at your bio, your education is very extensive and it's very important to you. And also being a chairman of the Coalition for Black Student Achievement, what are some of the main things that they focused on, and are you still a part of that group?
Well, I'm always a member of the Coalition for Black Student Achievement. And one of the things I'm very proud of and the work that we were able to do, I mean, there were several things, but one of the things we were able to do was to ensure, we fought to make sure that the school district did not eliminate the Office of African American Student Affairs. At one point, they were thinking about eliminating the office, and the coalition worked very hard to keep it. And we hired Brian Knowles, who's currently still serves in that position. And as a matter of fact, the African American Summer Institute starts tomorrow at Palm Beach Lakes High School and is open to the public. And one of the other things that we did, coalition, we worked to hire Dr. Avosa. The coalition got together and put together a rubric and hired Avosa. And Avosa, when he was superintendent he was very instrumental along with the board in pushing forward the diversity, the disparity study and the disparities that it did show that there were a lot of deficiencies in terms of how black students were scoring in terms of reading and math in comparison to their white or Hispanic counterparts. And so the district had to implement things to work to address that. We also worked to save a course at Florida Atlantic University, a multicultural education. Many of the teachers that are hired in Palm Beach County come from FAU. And this particular course, multicultural education, is a course for elementary school teachers. The college at the time was thinking about making it a elective course rather than a required course. And so we fought with the school district, and we came to an agreement that they would, that FAU would keep that course as a required course, because we, it's important to the coalition, to the community, that we have teachers that are exposed to issues impacting black students in this county. So we were very proud to say that. And the coalition continues to work and advocate on behalf of issues. And for example, in Riviera Beach, I worked with Dr. Robinson to pull together the Riviera Beach Pre-K Collaborative. And what the Pre-K Collaborative did was to bring together folks from the county, from the Children's Services Council, the Learning Coalition, school district, and the pre-K providers in the city to come up with ways, how can we pay our paraprofessionals more, our teachers in these pre-K programs more, what services do the pre-K programs need to best address learning outcomes for students in Riviera Beach.
Okay, great. I just, now we're going to touch on some of the things that what you was touching on earlier when it comes to the port. Again, just tell the listeners, why are you running, why are you a candidate for Palm Beach?
Well, and Port of Palm Beach is an important part of the economy in Palm Beach County, and it's based in Riviera Beach. And I'm running, again, because I want to give back. I want to make a difference, and serving in public office is a key aspect of organizing and ensuring that our community is at the table and that our community is heard. And I certainly, we have some good commissioners who I feel are doing good work, and I want to be a part of that team to increase the work that the port is doing, and some of the things to prepare for the future as well.
All right. You know, the port, I mean, we have the 21st largest port in the U.S. I mean, we deal with over $15 billion in commodities, millions and millions of dollars in export. But how can those dollars, what can you do to help transcend some of those dollars back into the community, especially in our black community? We shouldn't be having the problems that we have in our community when we have a port that's very profitable. But we got to they have to be accountable and give back. So what are some of the things, or what do you think you can do to help bring some of those dollars back into our community?
Well, one of the solutions is we increase revenue. We can hire more locally and pay a wage that is, a wage that keeps up with inflation. I think one of the challenges now is housing. Housing is so expensive. And people's paychecks are keeping up with gas and with other bills. The bills going up, but the paychecks are not keeping up. And I think that's one of the things, certainly, as a court commissioner, I work to address, finding other tenants that could rent out and lease court space, and making sure we work with them to hire locally as well. And that, again, another way of the local community sharing in the economic development that the port will bring. In addition to that, I think that certainly a lot of the money does go to the local economy. A lot of it goes to the county. When you think of Cisco and Cheney Brothers, they feed the world. So, I mean, the Port of Palm Beach feeds the Caribbean islands. So if the port didn't exist, then a lot of folks would not have access to the food that they need. So another thing that as important as entrepreneurship and working with, you know, the local cities to develop training programs that, you know, talk about how can you do business with the port, what opportunities that exist at the port for doing business, and expanding that and educating the community more about the port and its contributions and business opportunities.
Okay. Now, let me just say, I like the idea of more than 30 on-site tenants being at the port. I mean, I think that's a great idea to have, to be able to, the public can be able to have a site right there on the port grounds. I mean, it's, I think the port is about 165 acres. And if we can develop some type of business there where the residents can come in and be able to run a business out of there, I think that helps our community a lot because that's translating more dollars back into our community. With that said, what sets you apart, DeAndre, from the other candidates? What will you bring to the table that you think no one else can?
Well, I bring to the table a full understanding of this community. You know, a lot of times, you know, people may come in and say vote for me because of X, Y, and Z, but I'm a product of this community. And when you are a product of this community, that's, this community has given me so much, and I'm giving back, and I want to give back more. You know, Mr. Drayton, when he was alive, he was a pioneer. Commissioner Addie Green was a pioneer. Ms. Edith Bush, they were all pioneers who mentored people like myself, young black men like myself, to eventually be a part of that next generation. So I grew up in West Palm Beach. I grew up here in Riviera Beach. So I'm homegrown. I'm homegrown. I know the community. I've established and developed the relationships with our elected officials. I've developed relationships with our faith leaders. I am on the ministerial staff at New Day Covenant Life, which is based in Riviera Beach. So I'm here, visible, doing the work. And I didn't just show up, but I've been here, and I'm committed to the community.
Okay. Well, I know we have a lot of listeners probably out there want to know some questions, have a Q&A part of this podcast. Just tell the listeners, how can they get a contact with you, and what can they do to support your call?
Okay. My phone number is 561-331-1531. I'll say it again, 561-331-1531. Call me anytime. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will call you. I will meet you for a cup of coffee, whatever. I want people to sit down and talk with me and share their ideas or concerns. That I mean, that's what this is all about. And that's one of the things that are that many people have with our elected officials here. That what I love to see is our elected officials are like extensions of our families in some sense. They're there. They're visible. And that's the same leadership that I will bring to the Port of Palm Beach. And I just want to share with folks also that I have been endorsed by Senator Bobby Powell, County Commissioner Mac Bernard, Dr. Dean Enright, Vice Chair of the Port of Palm Beach, Dr. Deborah Robinson, Ms. Marsha Andrews, and Ms. Edith Bush, and the list goes on and on. So I have the endorsements. They believe in me, and I'm just asking Riviera Beach for their support. And you can help me by, again, telling your friends, your family, your neighbors that DeAndre Poole is on ballot. Absentee ballots go out mid-July. The election is August 23rd on Tuesday. So spread the word, neighbors, friends, coworkers. The court district is south to Southern Boulevard, north to Donald Ross, east to the ocean, and west to the Glades. So if you live in that area, West Palm, Riviera Beach, Lake Park, Palm Beach Gardens, Jupiter, Royal Palm, South Bay, Belgrade, Pahokee, Wellington, Green Acres, and other municipalities, you can vote for me. You can vote for me. So,
well, I think you covered the whole. Oh yeah, you covered the whole gamut of things, and I think that covers just about everybody in our county that wants to be involved and be able to support you. I have no doubt that you do a great job. Deja, is there anything that you want to cover before we go to Q&A with Mr. Poole?
Yes, really quick. I just wanted to ask two or three questions. Dr. Poole, I when you first started talking about, you know, running for the port of Palm Beach Group 5, you started talking about representation and, you know, diversity. And so I wanted to know, in your own words, in what ways do you feel like they could really expand on those topics?
You mean in terms of what the port could do to
bring it
to? Well, for me, from what I see, you know, about the port does have a very wide variety of employees that represent different areas in terms of the demographic makeup, diversity. But for me, representation and representation of opinion and lived experience. You know, when you are a part of a board of five other individuals, each person brings different experiences to the table. And so my experience maybe is different from another commissioner's experience. So when I talk about representation and diversity and lived experiences, that's what I'm talking about in terms of my background and my understanding of the community that I live in.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And then I know that you have background with civic, nonprofit, political, and academic leadership. In what ways do you feel like that helped to shape you?
Well, many of my students who I've taught have gone on to law school. Some of them have gone on to become entrepreneurs. Some have gone on to pursue fields in media and journalism. And that's the beauty about being a lifelong, I call myself a lifelong student, is being in touch with the issues that impact society. Being able to conduct research studies and to look at issues and to address these issues in a way, what kind of information could I bring to the community that is cutting edge, that will, what are some of the things they're doing in, say, you know, Seattle or in L.A. in terms of the, as far as courts are concerned, in terms of what are the needs of the community, how can we work to address those needs. And one of the things I have been a part of, because I'm a well-rounded person, and I think that's what makes me unique for this job, is that the nonprofit world experience serving on boards, the political world experience serving on boards. And one of the things, I'll give you an example, is a couple years ago, Birth to 22 was a countywide initiative. The county, the school district, Children's Services Council, United Way, and dozens of other community nonprofit groups got together and they say, listen, we want to develop programs and things that will address birth to 22, from when you were born to the age of 22. What kind of things could we put in place, from education to health care, from job opportunities, working with parents who have young kids? How can we help them? Because if you can help a parent get a job, that's good for their son or daughter, because that son or daughter, you know, life outcomes could be impacted in some way. So I was a part of the original groups that sat down to craft that out, and from that, we developed a Birth to 22 plan that exists today, and that is being implemented, and it's still an active part of Palm Beach County. So you bring together education leaders, economic leaders, political leaders to the table to craft this together. So I was a part of that, and that speaks to my diverse background.
Yes, definitely. I definitely think it definitely gives you a better perspective of, you know, what everybody needs, because, you know, as you said, not everybody is you know, going to need thing, and there are certain people that need certain things. And I do feel like with your background, you are able to give that to us, to the people. And my last question, kind of going back to what you said earlier about coming back and coming back home and pouring into your pouring into the community, how do you feel like that is so important in today's day and age?
Well, I grew up in, as I said, Pleasant City, and let me tell you something. People may say, they can say what they want to say about Pleasant City, but Pleasant City was a special place for me. It wasn't until, because we were bused from Pleasant City all the way out to Winbrook on Drexel Road. Yes, we were bused far. We passed all these schools in between. And then one of these days I was, you know, on the bus looking out the window, and I noticed, why is my community different than the community that I passed on the way to school? And it was at that time I just realized, wow, we're poor. But I never knew that growing up because, you know, I always ate, you know. But I started to notice the way my streets would look. Why would the trash man only come once a week? You know, why we live in Section 8 housing? Okay, why is it that the people won't come and fix our AC and they just keep patching it up? You know, one day my mom, you know, our lights were off and we had a cooler with ice in it, and I'm thinking to myself, why are we doing? So the point being is that I look at myself and I see a lot of these young males and females, and I see a lot of myself in them. I don't know what they're going through, okay, but I know what I had to endure, what I had to go through. And that experience alone as a kid, I always said, when I get of age and get education, I want to be in places and in positions where I can help and make a difference. And that's what I've been doing, and I'm just trying to do it on a much bigger scale. And that's, again, that's part of my experience. My experience is no different than, you know, somebody else. But the difference sometimes is some people manage to, you know, navigate and get certain places in life and others don't. You know, and I'll tell you another point, and I'll be quiet. You know, I had an uncle due to a neighbor's mental illness who had a gun, who shot and killed him, you know, 4 years ago. And mama was there for my mom and for my family. My uncle was an important part of our family. And, you know, I served on the criminal justice board. I was powerless to do anything in that situation. Couldn't bring him back. But I know what that pain feels like when a mother loses a child, because my own family experienced that. And we still, been about 4 years, and we still live with that loss. That's the kind of experience I'm talking about.
That was just really
powerful.
And I really liked how you talked about how when you were a little kid and just seeing all of the things, even at that age, and just thinking, okay, when I get older and when I'm able to come back and give back, then, you know, that is what I am going to do. That was really awesome to just hear. Mr. Artie, do you have any comments?
Yes. I just want to, first of all, just on behalf of our leader, Ann Johnson and Dan Calloway, myself, and you, Deja, we want to thank Mr. Poole for coming on, because Nick McNeil is not able to be here today, and she hosted this podcast, and she's not here able to be here. But we just want to thank you for coming on, and we appreciate all your visions and what you're trying to do for the community. And I know I told you about the July 16th event that we're going to have at Goodmar Park, and you're going to support that, and you're going to be there also. And I guess a lot of our listeners will be able to come out to the park and get to meet you, and you get to follow up and tell them more about what your plans are. But at this time, for a few minutes, that any listeners that want to ask a question, they just can open up the mics. If someone want to ask a question for Mr. Poole, we want to do that, and if not, we'll give our closing statements and move forward.
Yes.
If anybody out there that want to ask a question, they can.
You better cut it out, man. Right now. The mic is open for anyone who has any questions or anyone who has any comments. The mic is open. Okay, I think it's time for us to wrap it up. Do you have any ending comments, Dr. Apool?
Well, I just want to say thank you for, you know, the opportunity to speak. I think it's important that, you know, folks learn, that don't know me, learn more about me. And that's the thing, voter education, you know, learning who your candidates are, because people will bring folks to your church, to your community groups, and tell you, vote for this person, vote for that person. And you don't know who that person, not everybody. And then I'll be careful how I say this, you know, because, you know, some people are for our community election time, and any other time you don't see them, all right? But I'm here, and so I just want folks to know that I'm passionate about my community. And my phone number, 561-331-1531, call me anytime. You know, I'm here to be a resource. I'm here to do what I can to make a difference.
Awesome. Mr. Artie, do you have any closing statements?
No, just to let Mr. Poole know again, we do appreciate him coming on, and we're looking forward to working with him in the community. So I'm sure we can team up and do some things that make a difference. So again, Dr. Poole, thank you for coming on. And again, on behalf of everybody who's a part of this show, and I know if Ms. McNeil was here, she'd have some questions for you, Mr. Calloway. So those are people that are pioneers in our community already. And so I'm sure they're listening.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So you know what they are and what they do here. So, again, just thanks everybody for listening to the show. And we'll see you again next Sunday right here on hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. You enjoy your day.
Thank you. Take care.